I mean, it's not good. That's not good.
Apparently, it's very serious. Look at this.
We got free little booty.
He has free little booty.
No, they did not.
Wow.
You know, the thing is like,
no, they did not.
If somebody, like, if you want some Panther stuff where you're getting locked up, like, for fucked up charges or something,
right,
I can get that. But if you, like, done tried to commit murder,
right,
or something like that, right, it's like, well,
it happens. Sorry.
Right.
It happens.
I want you out, but, you know, you did do the crime.
And like, it's not even a thing where these dudes are hustling to, like, better themselves to get out. Because, see, when we was coming up, you know what I'm saying, at least the cats I rode with and hung with and people in my family, like, they was trying to get out for a better life situation because of, you know, their environment. But now it's just like, nah, like,
just if you want to do it,
it's like it's no kind of like code. It's crazy.
You recruiting the young ones now. Before you be like,
right,
you do everything you can to make sure that they don't get involved.
Right,
and if they do, then it's like, all right, well, we kind of warned you.
Right,
but you see cats, you know, young guys who have something about them, you like that special. You like,
right,
like, dude, I will tell on you. I'll call your mama.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody had their eye on you one way or another. Now it's just like, well, that's what he want to do. You know, it's like, it's like, damn.
And bring him back. Free him so we can have him do it some more.
Yeah, it's like, man. I'm like,
no, let's not do that. Shit, that's the jam. He'll be like, oh 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 shit, that's the jam. Well, once again, we're not stopping, man. You know, episode 6 of The Jam.
Yes.
I'm the host, Merc80. You know me by now. Also, Kim and Chris in the house. What's up, y'all?
Hey.
What's going on, y'all?
All right. And today's guest, a longtime friend, actually. I've known this guy for a while. He kind of disappeared seemingly into the ether for a while and then reappeared randomly. The homie, A-Ski. What up?
What up? It's good to be here, y'all.
I have to ask you real quick, where did you get that name?
You know, this whole epiphany, it was really a delusion of being a graffiti artist one day. And this was like 86, 87. And the whole ski concept was real big on the East Coast, you know. So when graffiti, you know, pretty much hit here in L.A., all the styles were basically East Coast based in terms of the bubble letters and that kind of thing. So I was really into b-boying and that kind of thing. You know, my name is Ahmad. So it was like I went through like a ton of different names through, you know, throughout the years. I had DJ Deathmaster, Cold Crush.
I had that one.
People still call me that. You know what I'm saying?
DJ Deathmaster, that's what, Cold Crush.
Going to Audubon. I was like, okay, we got it. Because everybody, you had to be a master. You know what I'm saying? Like Grandmaster Flash, Grand Mixer DST. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I got to be some type of grandmaster. Plus, that's the whole martial arts concept, too.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so anyhow, with that, I was like, I really started getting into graffiti. I said, you know, A-Ski was the name that I wanted to use. I was using at that time. And as time went on, as far as DJing, I kept the Deathmaster Cold Crush. And I was like, by the time 90 hit, it was like, okay, I got to drop this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not Flash. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, we just brought A-Ski back. You know what I'm saying? That's how it was born.
Hell yeah.
88, 89.
Yeah. You don't hear skis in the name very much anymore. So that's why I feel like, you know, you got to preserve that for sure.
Word. Thanks.
Well, like I said, this is The Jam, you know what I mean, where we talk about the jams. Pretty simple. Basically, right now, at this point, we're going to define our terms, define the term the jam. So my definition, and I think slightly modified now, because every episode there's little additions now where I'm like, yeah, that's okay, that's it. So my definition now is the perfect combination of rhythm and melody that has the spirit of blackness. Because there are some jams that might be rock or whatever, but there's something about it that it has like a black, you know what I'm saying?
Essence.
Yeah, like the old black man is somewhere in the studio. Like he's, whether he's behind the booth directing something or playing one instrument, there's somebody black in that song. Somebody's there. So that's my definition. Let's go to you, Chris.
Mine is probably the same. I feel like I have to remember it every time we do it. But mine is a song that touches you in your soul, just reaches out and grabs you as soon as it comes on, and it just makes you have to stop what you're doing and just turn it up, and if you need a boogie, dance, or whatever, but it just grabs you from the minute it comes on, and you're just hooked.
Okay, my definition is exactly the same. It is now a combination of you two gentlemen's definitions, and it takes you back to a place. It transports you somewhere.
Yeah.
And it usually results in a collective. You aren't the only person in the room usually feeling the jam in that moment. It has a collective resonance over the crowd.
Yep. A-Ski?
Well, you know, tapping into my Paul Mooney. you know, it's one of those records, you know, that you hear, your inner Don Cornelius comes out.
And, yeah.
But no, for real, I think it's one of those records where you just, it has a universal chord, no matter what age you are or what where you are in your life. It's like, it's one of those universal records that just hits you. And you're just like, wow, really? It's personal. It's very personal, and it's like, it's infectious. It's like one of those records, like you could be, you know, just a square, you know what I'm saying? If you have no rhythm, you're going to get rhythm just for that one song.
You know?
And yeah, that's my ultimate definition of the jam. A song that is basically, you can't refuse it. It's undeniable.
Word. A-Ski, you being a DJ, I think you probably know that very well. I don't know if you know now, but like I've started getting into DJing for the past year.
Congratulations. I've been peeping out. You know what I'm saying? I've been peeping you.
Let me tell you something. First of all, it's probably one of the most addictive things I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know? And it's crazy because like now, like I'm looking at speakers differently.
That's right.
I'm like, what needles should I buy? I'm, you know, listening to music a little bit differently. Like I'll hear a song now and I'll be thinking about, that'll sound nice if I mix it into this and all that stuff. But, you know, I just couldn't put it down. Like I've always had a love for music, but DJing, like when I first put my hands on the turntable, I was like, wow, this is difficult.
Yeah.
You know, how did you start? Like what made you jump into DJing?
I guess we got to go back to the time machine of 1976, 1975. I was probably 3 years old, excuse me. And, you know, my parents had huge record collections because they loved to go out and party. They loved dancing, a lot of funk, a lot of disco, a lot of, you know, Afro-Cuban records, a lot of just jazz.
Where were they from?
Well, my mom was from New Orleans and my dad was from Texas. So they both were Southerners.
Okay.
But so when they moved out here in the 40s, you know, early 40s, you know, it was like, you know, rhythm. They basically took the rhythm, you know, with them. Wow. And, my dad was a really hip cat, you know, so he was the jazz cat. My mom was the one that really loved to dance a lot. So she was more into funk, you know, Al Green, James Brown, etc. You know, I used to just go. Kids went through toys and all that. I went through their record collections, and I was always intrigued by the artwork and the presentation of all the album covers. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, it's like the artistry, the wardrobe, etc. And then when you listen to the music, you're like, wow, okay, this music goes right along with the album cover or the person in the presentation. So. For me, it was more like just going through my parents' 45s and just doing little house parties. And when everybody, you know, I started picking up, you know, all the different sounds and the different rhythms as time went on. So fast forward, we get into hip hop, you get this whole tune turntables concept, you know, and I'm like, wow, okay, I think I want to do this. You know, like this is serious. This was about 81, 82, you know. And so I started taking it more serious by the time, I guess, like 84, 85 hit. When I first saw Grand Mixer DXT, on Herbie Hancock had a special on what's now known as Fox, but it was known as Metro Media Television, KTTV. I know I'm telling my age. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, you know, he had a special, and this was when Rocket was real big, you know what I'm saying? So to see him on national television with two turntables was like an epic, like, situation. Nothing was really done like that before, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so... that was what inspired me even more so.
after that. And I started taking it serious. And before that, I actually play instruments too. My family's very musically inclined as well. So I started playing drums and piano at like, I guess, 4 or 5. Okay. You know, so I was always intrigued with music itself. Mm-hmm. This wasn't even a thing of just me being a DJ. Like, I was always fixated with musicianship. And as time went on, when hip hop came in, it was just like, oh, okay, this is a perfect marriage here. And fast forward, I got into production as a result. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
All right. Do you remember like your early first gigs, like when you got your first gig to perform or anything like that, or to mix?
The first major gig that stands out in my mind, wow, it was sort of like a Sadie Hawkins kind of dance. And ironically, we're not too far from the location, which is Audubon Junior High School.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Shout out to my man T.I.M. and DJ Deuce. Y'all know what it is if you're listening. I'll never forget it because somebody called me. Because we used to do a lot of the talent shows. So we do all the engineering and all the mixing. We got extra credit because I was in the drama department. Shout out to Mr. Herb Highland, who was our drama teacher, by the way. And, you know, part of that credit was to actually be involved in producing a lot of the talent shows. So we DJ the talent shows and we did the mixing and the engineering. And somebody pulled me aside one day and was like, yo, you want to do the Sadie Hawkins like dance? And I was like, yeah, no problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so janky though, because I really didn't have like a setup yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had a mixer. So my buddy Dave, he brought his mixer and one turntable. So it was like, yeah, Captain Quick Draw. I had to like hurry up and flip each record. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and it was fun though. It was my first dance too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got it in with this girl, like,
yes,
on an Anita Baker record.
Yes.
Shout out to Anita Baker,
yes,
by the way.
Do you remember some of the records that you played? Like, moments where you dropped a record and they were like, oh.
Man, I played Ain't No Half Stepping at least 2 times.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I played Raw. He had Raw, you know, Big Daddy Kane. Shout out to Kane.
Wait. Yeah. So y'all were playing this at the dance. Like, Big Daddy Kane was like,
Big Daddy Kane, It Takes Two. What else did we play? Just Got Paid was real big at that time.
Johnny Kemp.
Yes. Just Got Paid. You know, Bataram. You know what I'm saying? I said it's a little dated, but okay. You know what I'm saying? But you know, like, yeah, we was playing I'm Your Pusher, Ice-T. Who else were we playing?
Damn, that's black. That's black LA, man. Jesus.
Hella black.
Those are the parties I want to go to. Yes. You know what I mean? Where it's that, it's those songs that it's like, you know, it's weird because I feel like there was a moment of split that happened where, like, when you're talking about like the home, when Kim was talking about when Jam would come out, like Rump Shaker would come out, and then the girls would choreograph a dance and stuff like that, and so then you go to that dance, you know what I'm saying, everybody's finally got their little button up and they, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that, they got their fresh gear on, and then those songs come on, they're like, oh, I'm about to hit the floor, I'm about to show out, you know what I'm saying.
Well, and I think that goes back to you know, our African heritage in terms of just that rites of passage and the term call and response, all of that is related, and I think we carried that on with us, you know what I'm saying. I think technology, you know, what's funny is with technology, they, you know, it's like everybody's making a big deal about twerking. You know what I'm saying? Twerking is nothing new.
Nope.
And I don't want to jump off into that because that's a whole nother like can of worms.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? It was like, yo, that's nothing but the freak. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But just on a different, it's a little nastier. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, yo, we used to go to like, you know, West Indian dances and see them doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't call it that. It was like the tick or something.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You know, but except they go a little bit lower. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's a thing where that's all part of like African tradition. I don't think the kids and the chicks in the club know that. Mm. Or Miley Cyrus knows that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all tradition. So going back, you know, to, in terms of just those particular records that we were talking about in terms of the 80s, it was like those records were like, you know, the code of the street, you know what I mean? And this was before radio was corporate, you know, so you have to bear in mind that, keep in mind that, you know, a lot of these records were courtesy of mixtapes, you know, and you go to the Crenshaw swap meet or you went to the Slauson swap meet or wherever your swap meet was in your area, you got those tapes and those songs circulated.
Mm.
And now with the internet, it's the, it's on a whole different level now. You just download it. It's the same concept, but it's a lot widespread now. Like you don't, but it was more, and back then it was more regional. If you wanted to hear certain New York records, you go to, you know, you'd be in New York. If you wanted to hear certain LA records, you were in LA, you know what I mean? So it's like, or Detroit or wherever you're from. So each, there were a lot of regional records, you know, and as time went on, a lot of those artists became national once they got big, you know, big contracts.
Yeah.
You know, so not to get off in a tangent, but, you know, it's all relative, in, you know, in terms of how we translated music at that time.
Right. You know, when you mention that, it's interesting because I do plan on bringing in some jams that are a little bit more current, but I found that a lot of the songs are pretty much from like maybe the mid, late 90s and back that we've been playing so far. And I mean, it's only the sixth episode, but I find that what's interesting about a lot of the jams is that when you talk about radio, I feel like when I was coming up, radio was speaking to its community at large.
Absolutely.
You know, so I could hear Heavy D, and I could hear LL, and I could hear MC Hammer, you know what I'm saying? All these things, but because it was all speaking to the whole same community. So I feel like that's part of the reason why, you know, when that collective, when that happens, it's because we were all tuned in to a certain extent of that music and what was being spoken to us at the same time, you know what I mean? So being in tune with all that. So I feel like, yeah, that's kind of splintered in a lot of ways, but I feel like as a DJ, do you ever find yourself being the one to like break that jam, like to say, oh, this is a jam, I'm going to, you know, instill this in the people so that they know that it's, you know.
I think as a DJ, it's extremely important to break records. I feel if you're someone that doesn't break records, you're just being a jukebox, you know. And not only that, you know, there was a point in time where, you know, at least when I was coming up, if you broke a record, that record was, and it hit big, you were associated with that record. So they're like, you know, if you heard, you know, Funky Enough DOC, John Doe broke that record. And that your reputation proceeded along with that record. You know, so I think that, you know, now it's an issue where, and it's still coveted, you know what I mean, within the underground, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think that's like the pride and joy of getting a record and saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to work this record because I believe in it. That's what made, that was what made me stand out. Yeah. I picked the dopest album cuts. And a lot of times they would end up becoming, like I call them, DJ Premier calls it ghetto gold. You know what I'm saying? Like they basically become street hits.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll never forget too. This is how far me and A Ski go back. First time I heard him was at The Room in Hollywood before they expanded it, when it was just a long hallway. Yeah.
Let me chime in on it. Yeah. It was one speaker, ladies and gentlemen.
It was just one speaker now?
It was one speaker, and we blew that out. And we kept playing.
Yes. I remember I went in there. That had to have been at least 03, 04. I had just gotten out of college. And I went in there, and I got brought in there by the homegirl, Lisa. What up, Lisa? Lisa and somebody else, I guess they were like, yeah, I heard this place is cool. So we go in there. You got to go through the back way and the alley and shit. And I go in there, and I'm like, yeah, this is hot. This DJ is hot. And then he played, I can't remember the title, but I remember that it was Tiger and Q-Tip. Who did it?
The remix.
Who done it?
It's the remix.
Yeah. It's the Q-Tip. And so remix. I heard that, and I was like, you know, and it sounded familiar, but, and then Q-Tip was on it. I was like, what is this?
Right.
So I went over, I was like, yo, who is this? And then he told me, and I was like, man, I got to jot that down. Like, this is hard. I need this. And so a couple of times I kept coming back. And one night, and I'll never forget this night, this is when you know that this is a dope DJ, and this is what I'm aspiring to do.
Wow.
I brought my homies in, and I don't know what got into you that night, man, but you were just, you were on a roll. And the biggest moment was, I forget what song you played before it, but then you played, tell me why you bullshitting. Like, soon as that dropped, that Sugar Free, soon as that dropped, the whole room exploded. Like, everybody was like, eh. Like, all my homies, everybody. thought he was this. And like, people were probably like on the side who didn't know each other, but they were like, nigga, we about to dance. We getting it in. And that whole night, like, was just a good night. Like, I got, like, a girl's phone number. Like, everybody just had a good time. And then I met up with the homies the next day. Like, we went to go, like, to book shopping or some shit. Wow. And they were like, man, that party was hitting yesterday. I was like, hell yeah. I woke up refreshed. Wow. I woke up happy. And then for whatever reason, this dude like disappeared for like 5 years. And then I ran into him again. I was like, yes. I was like, dude, don't go anywhere. Let me get your phone number, man. Don't go nowhere.
God bless y'all.
Yeah, no, but for real, like, when you get into that zone, like, how do you get into that zone of that DJ zone? Like, or, you know, does that just kind of happen? Do you plan that out, or how do you?
Let me tell you, man, first and foremost, I got to thank you, man.
Oh,
and,
no.
And the people.
Yeah.
Because without the people, you know, I don't do the rock star thing. And I want to put this out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, I grew up seeing like real rock stars. You know what I'm saying? Like, that didn't act like rock stars. You know what I'm saying? Because it's about the people.
Yeah.
You know, I remember somebody came in one night at the room. And he says, yo, I'm going off to war. You know, like, I forgot which war that was, you know what I'm saying? But, or what, you know, I think it was like the Kuwait thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, he says, hey, man, you know, like, can you play such a song for me? I say, yo, you know what? I'm going to dedicate a set to you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to dedicate tonight's set to you, man. Because it's like, you don't know what's going to happen. That might be his last experience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, right. So for me, that held like a weight, but it held a level of responsibility as a result. You know what I mean? And I thought to myself, I said, okay, there's him, and then there's somebody else that may have gotten laid off, or who just got promoted, or who just got married. There are different scenarios that are playing, you know what I mean, in my head. So it's like, okay, I always play like it's my last time or my first time. Mm. It's all Alpha Omega, in my opinion. And, you know, for me, just to kind of get to the point, it's just experience in terms of just doing house parties. Like, see, like for me, when I did house parties, I take that mentality with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No matter where I'm at, I take the house party. You know, when you're doing house parties, it's like, you know, nobody knows each other. You know what I'm saying? So it's like. It's like you got 50% of everybody that knows each other, and then there's the other 50%. And the same thing with a club, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's like, okay, you got to make it happen at this house.
Yeah.
In this living room.
Yeah.
And the lights are on. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's, you know, in some cases, you know, the lights are low or whatever. But I carry that experience with me in terms of the house parties and just, you know, being a 5-year-old playing disco records and seeing everybody lose it to, like, you know, GQ or Patrice Rushen, you know what I mean? I take those experiences with me and translate that into modern. I'm like that 5-year-old still. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's still in love with music, you know? So it's like, I listen to tapes. I listen to what the people in the street are listening to. Like, I'll, you know, the homie will be like, yo, I listen to what people are playing in their rides. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, okay, you know? And then, you know, I have to credit women, you know, as a huge part of my success, because the first, shout out to Melinda Johnson, you know what I'm saying? I was supposed to marry you, but we're going to work that out. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, when I was at Audubon, you know, a lot of the girls, they bought mixtapes from me, you know, and as a result, that's how I got my enterprise on. Like, I would sell them for $5. No, I would give them to them for free. Mm-hmm. And the guys would come to me and say, yo, I want to buy that tape off you. So it was like, for every girl that is like, yo, I heard that, you know, sister's bumping your tape. So mainly dudes were my customers.
Yeah.
And the women were my promoters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you will. You know what I'm saying? So I understood business at a very early age.
Okay.
So, you know, fast forward though, it's about just impulse and taking chances too. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times where I've missed the note and I hurry up and have the other record ready.
Yeah.
Because some people try to drag the record out and try to force it on you. It's like, no.
No, it's not working.
Like, yeah, it's like, okay, on to the next. You know what I'm saying? You had that other record ready. You know, so it's just about being in tune with the people and also taking chances and just feeling the room and reading the room out.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of times, for me, it's just pure impulse.
Yeah. Let's say, top three records you love to spin right now.
Wow, very good question.
Maybe top three.
The top three, I would have to say, for club, I've been a huge Too Short fan for a long time.
Now,
you know what I'm saying? Yes, okay. Yes. And from the gate, and I'm just so happy that he's one of the few rappers that's actually like still relevant. You know what I mean? And still fresh. You know, blow the whistle. You know, it's 2 years old, but blow the whistle.
Blow the whistle. You can't stop that. Yeah. You can't stop that one.
Yeah, yeah. Blow the whistle. I've been really getting into, in terms of radio, it's kind of iffy, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I'm leaning more towards like house now, you know what I'm saying? But at the same token, as far as the radio stuff, you know, I'm digging what Drake is doing. You know, I like his directions. People have qualms with him, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's like he's speaking for his generation, you know what I mean? He's doing what he's doing him.
Yeah.
You know, what's the girl? Estelle, American Boy. I play that a lot. You know what I'm saying? That's like a really, I like a lot of feel good records.
Yeah.
Let's see. Get Lucky, Daft Punk, Pharrell. Like, I like that record a lot. I like a lot of feel good records. I don't really like a lot of dark records.
Right. Yeah. No, feel good records is what it's all about. That's the point.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know, here's a debate real quick. So, my friend, I've been wondering if Just Hold On, We're Going Home still catches on people. My other homie that I spin with, he said that's going to be a hit forever.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically in jam territory. What do you guys think?
I think a lot of the adults like it.
Yeah.
I know
a lot of kids
your mom was digging.
Just hold on, we're going home.
I thought she said like it was a Drake song that she heard.
Oh, the one that she said, Drake has this new song out that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. I didn't even know my mama knew who Drake was. I had to pause for a moment. She's like, Drake has a beautiful song out now.
Yeah. Old school.
That's all. Wow.
It's like my mom.
It has that feel that it's, that song itself probably may be a lasting because it's not just a club record.
Yeah.
You can put it on for other events or other things going on.
That's true. A-Ski, you think it's jam worthy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think for him, as he gets older and he's being exposed to different sounds and he's traveling, he's going to gain different experiences and his sound will mature as a result.
Mm-hmm.
I would give it a yay.
Yeah. I've gone on my rants about Drake here and there. I feel like he's always been on the cusp of really, you know, pushing through. Like,
he's trying.
Yeah. I
can't beat him up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is going to sound mean, especially me verbalizing him. You probably have to read the post to really understand. But I have an issue with Drake in terms of, I feel like I call him yellow belt rappers because I feel like he's just good enough at the basics, but he's not getting to that next level. And I know that he's capable. And I'm not saying that as though Drake is not capable of reaching that next level. I know that he is. You've heard him spit.
Right.
Like, when I heard that Versace remix, I was like, yes, more of this. Right. More of this, Drake.
Right.
But Just Hold On, I mean, I'm kind of on the fence on it, but I understand that it hits people differently. And that, I think that's a little bit of a thing now, too, as a DJ, of knowing when to play what others want to hear, regardless of my bias or feelings about it. And so, you know what I'm saying? If I played it at elementary schools and I played it for adults and people love it and sing it, so,
the verdict.
If it's a jam, it's a jam. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the people are the verdict. Yeah. At the end of the day.
Right.
You know, and if it feels good to them, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's, there it is. And it goes beyond our ego as a DJ,
you know,
as far as trying to, okay, we're going to force this record on you. It's like, no, you're not. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it's a give and take between the DJ and the audience, you know, but the DJ is there to serve the audience.
So do you also have like a limit of what you won't play?
Oh, absolutely. Like, there's no question about that.
Like, for example, like in general, like what?
I mean, there's certain records, you know, it's I don't know, you know, I remember, you know, when the whole, you know, in the 90s with the, you know, Biggie, you know, and I don't want to get off into that, you know, because, you know, that's a whole nother like can of worms. But with the whole Biggie and Tupac thing, you know, I had to stray away from certain records, you know, as a result, because it was like, I feel like we were aiding and abetting in terms of playing, you know, certain records, you know, as a result, you know, I, you know, and as time went on, you know, I got tired of just hearing a lot of the gunplay on a lot of records. And just a lot of, it was like, it's like where the fun, you know, element is like leaving. You know what I mean? It's like how many times you going to bust shots in somebody? And you know what I mean? Like, it's like, really? You know what I'm saying? Like,
not at the party.
Yeah. You know, because it's like you're yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Right.
You know, and it's like, if I'm playing records and, you know, this was me when I was 28, 29 at the time. So I feel like there's certain records I can't play in terms of just where it's like you're doing too much. You know what I'm saying? Like in terms of just being derogatory to women, you know what I'm saying? Being, you know, just, you know, all the gun talk. It's just like, yo, like calm down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, are you, you know, you're here to entertain and there's a way to be, there's a way to do it and be tasteful about it. But, you know, and it's just, I just can't play garbage. I'm sorry. Just keep it 101. I can't play garbage. And if you do come off like that, if you do come off misogynist or whatever, you better be like a hell of a lyricist. Like, that's so slick with it where it's like, wow, he actually said that and got away with it.
Yeah.
Like Sugar Free. Like,
yeah,
I have
no
problems playing Sugar Free.
Hey, dude. All. Sugar Free does not care.
Sugar Free is a poet. Literally. Sugar Free is like Dolomite. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, so it's like, but when it's just horrible, it's just like, first of all, the beat is garbage. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if you have a dope producer and you have, and that's where I'm on the fence. I contradict myself a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times it's the production quality.
Yeah.
You know, with Sugar Free, Sugar Free is a foul dude. Let's just go ahead. It's no secret. He's not trying to be like a saint.
Right.
You know, Snoop. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's not trying to be a saint, you know? So it's like, but you know, what I love about Snoop, he's been, you know, being that he's a father now, you know what I'm saying? It's like, he has transcended like to where it's like, he can pretty much do anything he wants.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the beauty of growing as an artist. So as DJs, we grow in that same way. There's certain records we just don't, I'm not going to play Throw Your Guns in the Air anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it was a good record,
right.
But it's like, I'll play it just for kicks and get a, you know,
some nostalgia.
For real quick. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to play those type of records all night long. And I think that's another thing that kind of dampened hip hop music in particular in terms of just the direction. There's no balance. You know what I'm saying? And for me, it's like, I like to bring balance, you know, in whatever I play.
Right. Yeah. I've learned, you know, how they say, if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you play it, they will come.
That's
you know what I mean? So that same thing that you play, you know, all of a sudden you start getting the thugs in the spot because they want to hear that. And it's like, okay, but, you know, it's funny, like, you know, everybody loves ratchet music, but they don't like ratchets.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The club don't like ratchets. Some of the people in the club don't really want to be around ratchets. Ratchets don't really like ratchets. They want to hear that ratchet music, though. And then all of a sudden, when you get the club full of ratchets, you're like, this wasn't what... this wasn't what I was going for here.
And realistically, it's like, you know, it's like for, you know, and I play to the 18 and over crowd as well. So I understand the science, you know, but I feel like there's a lane for that. As a DJ, it's like, okay, you're going to hear Stevie Wonder, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Along with Omarion and whoever. I try to bring the R&B element and when I do those type of parties, you know what I mean? Like I'll throw a couple of, cause sometimes you need a burner to kind of like, oh snap. You know what I'm saying? Like to get it, throw them off base, but then you bring them back around, you know, you go throw a couple of, you know, ratchet records, but then blend it in with a Stevie Wonder or a Gap Band or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really programming. It's radio programming, but just from a DJ's perspective.
Mm.
And we have more power than a radio, not an opinion, as a fact, because we deal with the people directly.
Directly, yeah.
You know, radio deals with, okay, the label told you to play this, and I get that, you know, I understand that end of it, but we are dealing with the people. The people are coming to us in our ear saying, hey, we want to hear track number such and such. So a lot of times I take a personal consensus. You know, I don't really frown upon people when they give me requests, because if I keep hearing too much of the same request, that tells me, that sends off a trigger in my mind. Like, okay, I need to download this song.
Yeah.
You know, for future reference.
Yeah.
You know, but then there's always that one song where it's like, okay, you know what? A lot of times they're album cuts, you know, so it's like the people,
are the ultimate programmers at the end of the day.
That's true. That's true. Real quickly, you were saying that you're getting more into house music. How did that happen?
I've always been in the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things where it really didn't hit me until, like, I really was, like, done with hip-hop in, like, I guess, like, 99 or 2000. You know what I mean? Not so much done, but it was just like, all right, everybody sound. And this is, like, pre-Dilla. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was like, okay, everybody want to sound like, you know, this guy. Everybody sound, it's like, okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I started getting into a lot of Kenny Dope. You know, because he has a lot of the and Masters at Work, because they have a hip hop sensibility in a lot of their productions, you know, and I always love the soulful aspect of it in terms of just its message and the uplifting vibe. And I'm a huge disco head too. So it's basically they're family members, they're cousins, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know, I felt soul music or R&B was missing that kind of element in terms of melody and just anthems, and house music really was just like that savior for me at that time. And I love Feel Good Records. So yeah, house music is like, I love house music.
Word, I feel you. Well, on that, I think that it is time for us to get into our jams today. There's one that I picked. This first jam, I'm gonna go first, and then Aisky, you're gonna go. This first jam, I think this is like 88, 89. By a hip hop artist from the producer of this record. At least this is what they said. I guess around this time, this rapper was in a bit of a slump. And so this producer came on board to kind of boost them back up on this song.
Is it a group?
It's not a group. No.
Okay. It's a solo
rapper.
Who was down.
Has a very well known producer on this cut.
I think I know. I have a guess.
Okay.
Is it LL Cool J?
Yes, it is. Wow. Yes, it is. I can't hide it. I couldn't skip over it. Does anybody know what song it is?
Mama Said Knock You Out.
No.
Jingling.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Molly Mall. Like,
yes, indeed.
Word. Is this the remix?
Of course it's the remix. Word. Single of.
Shout out to Marley Mall.
And the funny thing is, we were just listening to one of our favorite podcasts, Hip Hop Digest, and they were doing an episode called When a Remix Was a Remix.
Right.
Not when you just had people coming on and doing extra rap verses, right?
Right.
And this was one of the songs. And I hit them up. I was like, how about, I never realized this was a remix. I thought this was the album.
I thought this was it.
Yeah, because the original is on the Walking with the Panther album.
Yes.
Yeah. So Marley Marl went in and he was like the king of remixes. He was one of the main reasons. Shout out to Marley and the Juice Crew. Like, he was one of the main reasons why I got into production.
Yeah.
His remixes were so hot. It was like him and Teddy Riley were like neck and neck at one point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think about it now, I probably should have played Boomin' System, but.
Nah, this cracks though.
Cause that's the one.
That's
this
the one.
Let me see your earring jingle off. Go ahead, baby. Go ahead, baby. This one, everybody loved LL. Ooh, he could do no wrong when this song was out.
Now, see, it's funny because I think I heard Marley Marl was saying that, I guess, either the album or this song wasn't quite, you know, getting the burn that it needed. So he went in and remixed it. And it's interesting because the original is good, too.
Yeah.
But something about this, like, he put that extra whatever it was on some extra herbs and spices. And right. Just,
that beat.
It just got harder, you know what I'm saying?
This is the Mama Said Knock You Out album, right? Yeah. I used to run this album like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boomin' System was
like that. And then that guitar on the hook. I'm like, damn.
Yo, I flipped out when I met Marley in high school. Like, he came.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody, my buddy Dave, he was like, yo, we got career day. They used to have career day. And it was like, we saw these posters. Somebody was like, yo, Marley Marl's in the library. I was like, yeah, right. I said, get out of here. And then my teacher was like, okay, we're all going to go to the library for career day and see Marley Marl. And I was like, what? Oh, snap. In my mind, you know what I'm saying? I was like, lady, do you know who that is? You know what I'm saying? So I was front and center asking every question. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. It's funny because I know my homegirl, I don't know how it happened, but she ended up getting Kanye before he got big.
Oh,
like,
wow.
This is like just right when he was about to, when it, Through the Wire was just about to come out.
Before the Yeezys.
Yeah. And Kanye was like, "Have y'all ever heard of me?" And some of them was like, "No." He was like, "Well, you will." And like a month later, there he was, right, like everywhere.
Like, oh.
Wow. You know, but seeing Marley Marl, like, seriously? Marley Marl ain't in the damn library.
I'm telling you, it was for real. I was like, it was on and cracking too. In fact, he told me about
that. Here
comes
Eli. Eli, you know this song?
Eli got his own agenda.
Yeah. So anyway, let me turn this down. I'm turning this down here.
This was the joint. I have not stopped moving since you put it on.
Hip hop vice. You know what I'm saying? I know the lyrics like.
All right, so. So quickly around the room, memories associated with this song, Chris.
Honestly,
the first time you heard it, or when you know?
Honestly, the first time I heard it, it was just like, this is a great song for a guy who liked titties. Because
can we say that on the air? That's my Arsenio voice. Can we say that on the air?
I mean, honestly,
I'm
it was
just
like,
asking. Can I say that on the air?
And that's the end of our show. Thank you.
But I was like, wow, you can. Because I'm like, is she saying what I think she's saying? And okay, but.
It's the earrings, Chris. Yeah.
He said, let me see your earrings jingle.
The door knocker.
That's very slick, hello. That's very slick.
But I mean, like, if you don't hear that part and you hear, if all you remember is the verse. They're jingling, baby. Go ahead, right. Like, oh, okay. I mean, you dancing. But that's just me, though.
Jesus
that's
Christ.
That's my husband. That's how he
wow. That is the quote of the day. Wow. That is the quote of the day. Okay.
But outside of that note, I had this album, and I think I had it with the remix was on the album when I bought it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, I was like, hey, this is a bumping ass album. And it's just like, you get to that track, and you're like, oh, he got this on it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Let me put this on repeat for a few.
Yeah.
A few times.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because wasn't Roundaway Girl on here, too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Track number two.
Oh, my God. I wanted to be every woman he was describing on every track.
And this Lisa, Angela, Pamela, Renee?
Everybody. I was like, he ain't say Kim in there. And this was what, 89?
At least 89 or 90.
So I'm like all of 11 or 12, but see, like loving this album.
But see, Ice Cube returned the favor, though. It was a good day.
Yes, because so, that was my
boom,
track.
There it is.
I got a beat from Kim.
Yep. See?
But mind you, I was probably, all of 13 when that dropped. I couldn't be saying too much about that one. But yeah, this album was, this for me is, and I know people throw the word classic around kind of loosely.
Oh, yeah.
This,
epic, too.
Yeah. This one for me is a classic rap album.
Absolutely.
Because it was part of, again, my hip hop foundation, and I could play it over and over and over and track to track to track to track. You know, there's so many songs on here. And it really put in my mind this idea of, I guess I had a masculine ideal of a hip hop artist based off of what LL Cool J presented to me at that time.
Right.
And so that meant a lot to me in regards to the artist that I really liked afterwards. Mm-hmm. And when that image began to change, I was kind of just like, I need to go back to somebody kind of like LL Cool J. But almost from that point on, it was
Team Alpha Male.
Right. But there was like, for me, like, it seemed like after that he had a few albums or at least singles. There was always something that he did that was good and that would feed me as a listener.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I was buying whatever LL was selling for the most part. But this album, it meant so much to me.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the first ones that I owned. Like my own, like, mommy, I need to go to the record store and get this tape. Thank you very much.
Word.
Yeah.
A-Ski?
Well, aside from the Marley story, I think for me at the time, it was summertime and it was just hot.
Yes.
And I just remember when that record hit, it was like that and Blue Cheese. And like that was the pep rally like anthem. You know what I mean? Jingling Baby, Illegal Surge, the remix. Like Marley was just going in at that time. You know what I'm saying? And I always felt LL was like an unofficial, and Rakim were like two unofficial members of the Juice Crew. Another episode. But, you know, Marley, like, I mean, he really like did his thing on that album, man. I think it was just a really feel-good era. I still play that record to this day.
Yeah. So according to the Wikipedia, Mama Said Knock You Out, the album came out August of 1990.
Okay.
And then the Jinglin', the remix came out January of the same year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. January of 1990. So, yeah, I was 89,
90. Yeah.
I was still living in Oakland at the time, and I think we had just probably gotten, like, MTV. So I kind of vaguely remember the video, and one of my cousins was a big LL fan. So, like, he really kind of put me on to it. But I just feel like I was in the living room in a house in Oakland, like doing the Running Man when this came on. Like, you know, like just jumping up and down in the house. I was thinking of this because I was listening to another song, and I was like, damn, I want to mix this into that. You know what I'm saying? And this is just one of those songs where it's like, come on, man. You know you got to dance to this.
Yeah. Right.
You know you got to. Like, right. It's undeniable. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just hitting. So yeah, I mean, Jinglin' Baby, I mean, that's it.
Word up.
That's all there is to it.
Word up.
And I think it's interesting because LL was at first, interestingly enough, in, when you're speaking of that alpha male thing, it's like he'll do, you know, Around the Way Girl and then this. And then Mama Said Knock You Out. Like he would have enough of the appeal to the women, but still keep it hardcore enough to where it's like, look, don't think that you just gonna run up on me. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not like that.
Cause he had to step it up because he had a lot of competition, like tense competition. Yep. Like Kane was like right behind him. You know what I'm saying?
Because so, he was another one.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And Kane was like, you know, like him, like Kane and Wesley Snipes was like killing the game at the time. I'm just giving 100. You know what I'm saying? Like New Jack City just came out. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, like, LL had.
He had to step it up.
No, man, when you talk about this era, like there was and I love the way LL had put it because I saw him on an interview talking about this in terms of new music and his dissatisfaction with it. He said that as an MC at that time, you had to be able to tap into and grab that mental real estate. Like he said, mental real estate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So where
it's a dope concept.
You know, where you are grabbing the entire attention of people. Mm-hmm. And you know, I remember that I mean, I think I kind of knew at a young age slightly. I think somebody must have told me, I might have heard my cousin say it or my sister or something, but that How You Like Me Now by Kumo D was going at LL. And, you know, Kumo D was dope. That song was dope.
Treacherous
but,
3.
But, like, you know, LL was going toe-to-toe with Kumo D,
right.
Ice-T. He was going at, like, heavy hitters.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you got to make a hit. You got to make your diss records. You got to do all that. And so that's the interesting thing to me is that he was really kind of, you know, kind of that universal type MC to still rock a party and get at the girls and make the hardcore tracks and all that. So, you know.
And we talk about him still because to the fact that, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine about this not too long ago. It was a minute ago, but we were saying that LL was the only artist that really had that street and crossover appeal. A lot of the people that we admire really didn't have that crossover appeal early on. Like, he came in the game. I mean, like, in year two in a movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like he did Wildcats. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he was already like a superstar from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of hit the ground running. It's like, wait a minute, you're acting in year two. Now it's commonplace to be an actor now and a rapper, but he was really the first to do it.
And as a musician, I would definitely make the case. I think he's probably one of the only MCs who we would give, you know, credit to having true street cred,
right.
But who could make a true crossover romantic love, like that R&B hip hop mix.
Right.
I Need Love. But the one he did with Boyz II Men was stupid. Yeah, that Hey Lover.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Put that song on now.
That's ridiculous. That paved the way for Drake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. You know exactly. And he was so good at doing that.
Right.
You know what
and
I mean?
Then here comes Benita Applebaum after that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
thing.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
It was just that period where guys, you'd hear your peers make something and you'd be like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, I got to top that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, at least it would be like somewhat of like a friendly competition. Like, oh, you,
right.
Okay, you pushing me to make something better.
And see, what I really love about LL, he's a fan also. There's a story where I read where he was at a concert somewhere. He was at some kind of arena or something. And
he saw Kool G Rap, who's like a monster. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like the Yeti, you know, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, no, seriously. Like, but would you, at that time, like, the Juice Crew was, like, killing it at the time. So it's like, you got the Juice Crew, you got KRS, you got Ultra Magnetic. He had to run in them. They kind of fell off at that point. You know what I'm saying? Because they were, like, superstars already. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, they were, but they were still respected, you know? But L had a lot of intense competition. But he saw Kool G, like, when they went up to do the symphony, this was before the record really was a big hit. He knew he was actually mouthing the words to Kool G Rap's verse.
Yeah.
Which said that he was a fan of Kool G Rap. Yeah. So he's, meaning he, you know, it's like every great person follows another great person. Right. Just like Dr. J, I mean, excuse me, that's just like Michael Jordan followed Dr. J.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so he was checking out his competition.
Yeah.
There's no question about
that. Yeah. No. And, you know, it's interesting too, because there's competition, but then I like to think of it as everybody inspiring everybody.
Inspiring. Friendly
you know,
competition.
Yeah. Right. And that being like, you know, that whole thing that just keeps the whole, you know, the whole vibe flowing and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to get into this jam that Mr. A. Ski has brought today. Right. If you could give us a light introduction into this record.
Yeah. Wow. I just say one name, Bernie Worrell.
Okay. Well, it's funny because I know that name, but it's like, did he play bass?
He played keys.
Keys? Okay. All right.
How old is this record? You want to say the era? You don't have to give like a specific year. You put what era is it?
I'll say it was the close of the 70s.
Okay.
And it's one of those records where you just like, you just wild out when you like, you just know. Like,
yeah, you just know.
You, I'll put it this way: you know, you just not a human being if you don't react to this record.
It's a 70s album.
Yes.
End of the 70s, and you say you just know. Is it a solo artist?
It's a solo artist. Just think late 70s and weed.
Late 70s and weed.
And solo artist.
No, not a solo artist.
It's a group.
It's a group.
Yeah.
Can I ask how many members are in the group?
A lot.
It is a pre-Wu-Tang.
A lot.
Parliament again? Is this Parliament?
Very close.
Oh. Sly and the Family Stone?
No. Now you're straying away.
Okay. You know what I'm
saying? I'll be fair.
Okay.
Because they actually call themselves Parliament Funkadelic.
Okay. Yeah.
But they credit it under Funkadelic.
Oh, like, yeah. Okay. Oh, okay.
So
okay.
You got it right.
Okay.
It's Funkadelic.
Okay.
Now you got to figure the song now.
Oh, there's so many. There's so many.
So many.
Yeah.
There's so many.
That's probably on the tip of my tongue, but I'm like,
what's the one? So high.
See, George Clayne was here. So, you know, we recorded a lot of records.
Groove? One Nation Under a Groove?
It's the cousin to One Nation Under a Groove, actually.
yeah, they're definitely related. And I'll tell you what, I never knew the name of this song. Like, I've known this song all my life.
Right.
And somebody would say something like, yeah, you know, like, such and such. I was like, what is that?
Oh, I'm going to do you one better. Okay.
Funky Worm?
No, that's Ohio Players. Same family. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Okay. Remember the episode of Different Strokes? And you know where I'm going. You know
remember
saying?
The episode of That's My Mama? It's going down episode.
And you know, Willis was always the one dancing all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because he was always impressing the girls.
Yeah.
And he played this song in the show.
Oh.
I'm ready to hear it now.
And it's about five songs that they played in that show.
Okay. I can't, because just with most Parliament Funkadelic or Funkadelic albums, you know the song by sound, not necessarily by title.
Right, right.
That's what makes this record so unique.
Yeah. Right. All right.
Chris?
I'm not going to guess. Okay. I'm ready to hear.
Well, without any further ado, A-Ski, please introduce this song here.
Name of the song, it was recorded in 1977. I remember my dad, you know, when I used to go visit my dad, he'd always have that playing at his house because, you know, my parents had divorced at that time.
You know, and so he was living in the jungles at the time. So, yeah, this is when it was like professional at that time.
Yeah, you know when the jungles like, were nice.
It was still hood, you know what I'm saying? But it was professional. It was before the crack came in, but everybody on the block was like playing this record. And I was like, yo, Pop, you got that record. The name of the record is called Knee Deep.
Yep. Oh, yes.
Here we go. I'm saying.
Yes. And how many songs was sampled off of this?
All of exactly. them. All of them. Every song you've ever heard right. after this song.
Sampled. I could have said Me, Myself, and I, but right. that would have been yeah. that's too okay. obvious. Yeah. Bernie Worrell. Bernie Worrell on keys. I believe Bootsy Collins is on drums.
Is Catfish Collins on here anywhere?
I think I wouldn't be surprised. You know about Catfish. You know some. You be knowing some things. That's his brother. You know what I'm saying? You be knowing some things.
And once again, we have to ask the question, what are they talking about on this song? Does it even matter?
When you're under the influence, it doesn't matter. You just press record.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
We determined that one of the necessities of a jam is you don't have to know what it means.
It
at
doesn't
all.
Matter what they're talking about. No, first of all, I think this is the first song to ever use twerk.
Oh, they say twerking.
Yeah, it didn't twerk. No, I think he didn't mean it that way, but I'm going to credit to him.
Right.
Well, no. See, the song really is about a girl.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they spot at the jam.
It didn't twerk.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those where we call this your mama cleaning up the house record.
Yes. You know
remember your mama cleaning up the house?
With house shoes on yes. and a robe.
Yeah. She got the plaid and the rag going.
Yes.
Like, hey.
Yeah, dancing while you clean up. Let me tell you something, man. That's the blackest thing ever.
Yes.
You putting music on while you're cleaning up.
That's how you clean up.
And the house was much cleaner because of it.
Yo, you know what? There's another theory to house music also. That part of that, the concept of house music came from when your mama was cleaning up the house. And the DJ would play. They say, hey, man, play them house records.
Right.
Your mama cleaning up the house.
Interesting, you know interesting. What I'm saying? Now, here's what's also interesting that it says on this song on Wikipedia. When you ask what the song is about,
yes.
It says, the song is about a girl who is the, quote, freak of the week.
That's right.
And dances, quote, never missing a beat.
That's right.
All right.
That's the only
right.
information you need to know.
That's right.
It's about the freak of the week. She dances and never misses a beat. There it is.
And who got the weed?
I mean, there have been so many songs that have sampled this, dude.
Digital Underground.
Yeah.
They
Kiss You Back. Oh, yeah.
Hey, as soon as you hear it, you just like... Rolodex of songs that's coming in your head. You're
this one. It's so interesting, man. Like, the way that a jam kind of... This might be a little strange to say, but it's almost like a family member.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
it is.
It's like, oh, it's uncle. It's grandpa. Real. It's that's whatever. Real. You know what I mean? Like, that's all real. Of that shit just passing down. You know what I mean?
It's an association.
And I love how this song... And with all their songs, it didn't matter how high they were.
Right.
They had that music. They had those chords down. They had that harmony down. It's like a whole choir of people in here, and they are singing this over and over again. And it's on point.
And then they go into another break like 3 minutes later, and you're like, okay, and then bring you back.
Right.
My uncle says, like, look, if you're a great musician, you can play anything.
Yes.
He's a great musician himself, so that's how he knows, like, yeah, no, he says a great musician, if you get a bunch of great musicians, good musicians in the same room, they could play the alphabet and it'll sound good.
Yeah.
All right, this song is like 15 minutes.
Right.
Let it run.
You can let it run.
Yeah.
And that's funny because they knew. They were like, just, you put this on, the party
right
is set.
Just this right. whole part.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
he looped.
Something
he
about
looped.
The music. It's something yeah. about
in
the
that
music.
Line,
he looped shit. Himself.
Yeah. I'm saying. I'm about to change my ringtone right now.
You on your third drink on this part now. Right. You know what I'm saying?
They knew what they was doing.
But that's how all them songs was long. They're like, you cleaning the house, you know,
right.
You don't want you to have to change the record or nothing. Let me put this on for about 7-8 plus minutes.
That's right. I remember one time, it was a lot of one times, but I've heard cats like bump this at like 4 in the morning and it'd be at this part. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dang. I'm like, that's like...
like 8 minutes now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, damn, you're going to play this for the next 14 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hitting the freeway after that.
I'm gonna fade this one out as much as I don't want to. As much as I don't want to. That's hard. It's a hard thing. It's like, I don't want to take you away, but we're going to take you away.
Yeah.
I'm really going to change my ringtone.
Shout out to Uncle George, yeah, and the Parliament Funkadelic.
Something about the music.
All right, so let's go around the room, Chris.
This is one of them, you know, hearing my parents play the music. I don't know specifically where, but it was in the house on some day or in their car, and you're just like, man, I know who this, you know, you're kind of like, all right, I'm at this point, I'm familiar with the sound. I kind of understand who this is, but you're still like, man. And this is when you want to sit back and listen because it's layered. So you hear the bass at one point for about 5 minutes. You just listen, and all of a sudden, like, all right, what the key's doing? You're like, oh, it's just, you know, like you said, at home, mom's cleaning, having me clean up because our grown parents were like, clean your own shit. Clean your room up. Yeah. I ain't touching that. So, yeah, it's just played throughout the house. You're like, thanks, mom and dad.
Yep.
Playing them jams.
Yep.
I so hope my daddy is listening to this episode. This takes me back to my daddy's days when he was a pimp.
Oh, snap. That's right.
Yeah. And like he would come into town.
He had the weed sack, huh?
Daddy had everything because he was pimp. He was pimping and doing a little something, something.
He was minding his business.
he was minding his business. But daddy would come into town and daddy's very flossy. So he'd come in and he'd have a limousine. And it'd be women in the limousine, his women.
Did he have a lot of rings on his hand?
What? And shirt must be buttoned down to the belly button. And my daddy's a Scorpio, so he's got a diamond-encrusted scorpion that down right here.
We need him in this show. We need him here.
Daddy was great.
He's like, Teddy Pendergrass ain't got nothing on me.
Exactly.
And he had a cowboy hat, too.
He knew Teddy Pendergrass. He knew everybody.
I'm sure he did.
Everybody. But he would come into town, and this just makes me think of the times he would come in and he had a limo, he had the ladies in the car. And this was the background to him picking me up from preschool or just picking me up and me hanging out.
I'm jealous.
Just listening, like, and I'm like, these women are so pretty and they got all these furs on and what? I have no idea what's going on. And he's like, yeah, baby, daddy just brought you this little Gucci purse. And I'm like, I don't even know what Gucci is. Thank you.
Whoa.
Yay. My daddy is the best.
Damn.
It takes me right back to that, though, because it was so... Because this is 70s, but of course, these songs never stop.
Nope,
right.
So
quality.
My memories are early 80s, but some of the fashion was still kind of the same. You know, daddy with a perm, whatever the situation was.
Mm-hmm.
But it puts me right there. Mm. Being that little girl being picked up by her flashy daddy, not really clear on what daddy was doing at the time, not really knowing all the elements, you know, just knowing that everything felt really glamorous.
I'm a manager.
Right, and I was having a good time.
With this song on. Bringing it, just elevating the whole mood. Like, yeah,
exactly.
All right.
It takes me right there.
Interesting, right?
Wow. I got to meet your dad.
He's the best.
Yeah. A-Ski, you picked this one. Why did this come to mind?
Well, just as a DJ, this is one of the few records. Because I was struggling in terms of picking the other. There's five records, I believe, like, and that's one of them.
Mm.
The other one would be Salt and Pepper Push It.
Mm.
Rapper's Delight.
Mm-hmm.
Sheet Good Times. Mm.
Oh, yes. Psh.
That's one that was like, okay, you can't front on it.
Nope.
And Billie Jean, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, those five records in particular, like, there's another 10, Holiday, Madonna, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's like, oh, everybody like freaks out when that comes on. You know, there's a good solid 10 records that like just affect people, and it doesn't matter what age range they are. They just come out. Knee Deep is that one, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That embellishes because it's been sampled so many times. So it's lived 9 lives on so many different levels.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Funky Drummer was the original choice, actually, because it's been sampled by everybody.
So many times.
Summertime. You know what I'm saying? But at the same token, it's not one of the, it's not a record that I can necessarily play to an 18 and over party. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what's this old stuff? You know what I mean? Like, but that knee deep.
Yeah.
They get that.
Yeah.
They know that because they say, oh, that's Auntie and them. You know what I'm saying? Or that's, you know what I'm saying? That's Aunt Millie. You know what I'm saying? You know, and they know the words, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, and then here comes Aunt Millie. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay.
I'm going to play knee deep tomorrow when my kids are working on their project.
There it is. There it is. Does he still talk to the ladies?
Nah, daddy is gone from pimp to preacher.
Oh wow.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
Nice.
That's what's up.
Yes. Nice. I love it.
Yeah, he still got the gift though. He's still magical. He's still absolutely.
He gotta
magical.
Give me Rosebud's number. I gotta get some advice. You know what I'm saying?
Can we ask Aski the question that was posed at the table when Jesse Fairfax was here, just because he is the DJ.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Are there any tracks that you think need to, as a DJ, that should die? Name a track that you would retire.
I don't want
to
hurt nobody's feelings because I know
don't
some of these people.
Don't worry about that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel bad, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but
yo,
songs
son.
That you know you do not need to put on at the party anymore. They just need to retire. Not die. We won't kill
just
them.
Okay.
But they need to be taken out of rotation.
At a party. So you don't want...
Ooh. Mine is Return of the Mac.
Yeah, we all have one.
Mine is Return of the Mac.
You lied to me. That's so funny.
And mine is This Is How We Do It.
Oh.
Very seriously, too. Yes. You too, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, let pass me by for a minute.
Really? Oh, the far
pass
side.
Pass me by the far side?
Let that shit pass.
Really? I haven't heard that one in a while.
Like, son. Like, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, out of all the songs on that album, it's that one song. I understand, like, that's their biggest hit.
But there's so many.
You know, but that's one. And another one they should definitely retire is It Takes Two.
What?
Like, Rob Bass?
Nah, man.
Let, let it alone. That was like seventh grade for me. Like,
what?
Because I feel like I'm in junior high again. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, let it alone.
I'm
like,
not entirely mad at that choice. Even though I will always love that song.
That's another record that's like that too. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's another one of those you can't front. Like, my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? Like,
which one?
Hey, It Takes Two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's going to start the party.
But that's James Brown too. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, so it's like, I found that out, I was like, James Brown made everything.
Right.
I was like, this dude made everything.
I can't be mad at that record. You know what I'm saying? It's a love-hate relationship. Can I still play it?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like, okay, I take a break from it once in a while.
Yeah. I haven't heard.
Don't kill it.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't heard it in a while. So there's some that, you know, I feel like can pass through. But then there's some where it's like, you know, you can tell when a DJ is going to a real safety record.
Right.
And it's like,
it's even,
man. I think Passing Me By is one of those ones that everybody kind of knows. So it's very easy to kind of throw in.
Wait a minute. Poison.
Poison. I have a dance for that one.
Everybody does.
It's definitely, you know.
It does have that safe feel. You're like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is safe.
I feel like if you're going to do Poison, then you got to go into a whole 90s, like you're doing a whole thing.
If you play Do Me Baby, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to give you a tip for that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
or Dope.
That was my choice.
That was the
Jolly Mar remix.
But at least do a little bit.
I don't even know that one.
Word? I'm going to look it up for you.
Oh, okay.
But I feel you, it's just more effort than just, like, if you're going to play them, like, find something that's not that simple. At least, you know, try put a little bit of effort into it.
But see, here's the problem is that we're all like music lovers.
Right. That's
so when you get around like a wedding, then you got to play something that everybody knows and they're like,
right.
Well, I know Poison.
And see, that's what makes me different. I throw the curveball in. I'll throw in Christopher Williams, I'm Dreaming.
No. Listen to me. Listen to me. That's one of the best songs ever made. And
wake up in the morning with that song.
No. Let me quickly tell you, and I'm going to say it again later on in another episode. Trust me. I was DJing a New Year's party, right?
Uh-oh.
And I was so excited coming into this year. I was so excited for this party. Like, 2 days before, I couldn't even sleep.
Right.
And so when the night before, I'm going like 6 hours going deep into my hard drive, like putting in my Serato, because this was going to be all my friends that were music lovers and, you know, well-traveled and all that stuff. I was getting all my stuff. But before I even cracked open the hard drive, I said, I need I'm Dreaming by Christopher Williams. That was the first thing in my head. And I said, I don't care who dances and who doesn't. I'm playing it for me.
That's right.
And I tell you what, man, when I dropped that in, I was doing my little 90s thing. I dropped that in. Everybody looked at me like,
you can't be mad.
You can't, like, they looked at me like, are you serious?
That's right.
They're like, are you serious? Now we have to go into overdrive. Like, what are you doing? Yo, that song is the jam. See, I love that song.
You could be slick and throw in, I talk to myself because I got nobody to talk to.
I talk to myself.
My project part two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
You
know?
So we need Donnie Simpson on this one. You know what I'm saying?
Look, man, this is why I love this show.
Oh, yep,
that's it. That's dope. That's the Marley Marl remix.
I don't want that remix.
You don't like the other remix, yo?
I want the original. I don't want that. Dope.
Funny, yo.
Uncut dope. I haven't even heard that one. That's new to me.
Yeah, Poison was like, is overkill. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but that's another one of those records that everybody knows. Like, I'm telling you, girls that just turned 21, they know that. That record has 9 lives.
Yeah.
Okay, apparently the remix is the only one we're going to be able to use.
Yeah, YouTube is funny like that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find it for you because the original one is the business.
Please do. Look, man, we can go all day, but we gotta cut it off somewhere as much as I don't want to. But look, A-Ski, you know what I'm saying? Where can people find you, hear mixes, see you spin, whatever?
Yo, you can check me out. I have a monthly called Soul Funk Taste in downtown Los Angeles. You know what I'm saying? And we put basically playing house music and soul all night. And then I also do an 18 and over function over at the Catch One on Saturdays.
Okay.
And we're playing basically New Jack, a lot of the stuff we talked about tonight, actually. You know what I'm saying? House music, disco, funk, 90s. It's basically grown folk. I do the downstairs area. Upstairs it's like crunk, you know what I'm saying? And I do the downstairs, it's more of like soul, New Jack, classic. All that. You know what I'm saying? That's every Saturday night. Shout out to Dr. Jewel and the fam. And then you can check me out online at www.djaski.com. You can download all my mixes and what have you. And shout out to my partner in crime, Tailwind Turner, Stone Groove Radio all day. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And also, I got my album coming out actually in early April entitled Rewired. You can pick that up on iTunes, Amazon. Be on the lookout for that. It's called Rewired.
Okay, hell yeah.
And there it is.
Can I give
a special shout to A-Ski? Because when Black Is first started back in 07, he was one of the first people that I interviewed and cultivated a relationship with. Right. And I appreciate you for supporting us all these
years. Likewise, sis. So, likewise. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Kim and Chris, anything else you want to plug?
Sip LA is back. We are gonna come back for spring, summer, and that is it. So be on the lookout. Find us on Facebook at Sip LA. And you can always email us at sipangelinos@gmail.com if you want to get on the mailing list. But it is the happy hour or the new after work experience, as we call it, as we bring together people of color to enjoy food, drink, and good conversation.
Hell yeah. That's what
and
I like.
Beautiful women.
That's what I like. I like all those. That's a very good combination. Very good combination.
I just want to say thank y'all for supporting this show and Black Is in general. Please check out all the programming we got.
Yes.
The Break, Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour, Culture Connection, Brown Girl Hour, and of course, The Jam.
Yep. The Jam, man. I love it. You already know Merc80, Merc80.com. I'm Merc80 on Instagram. I'm Merc80 on Twitter, all that stuff.
Word.
So, that's basically it, man. I'm just going to call it a day. This is The Jam, and we're out.
Peace.
That's The Jam.
He'll be like, oh shit, that's the jam. He'll be like, oh shit, that's the jam. He'll be like, oh shit.